Amen. A couple of quick thank yous before we begin this morning. Before you is a brand new pulpit, the handiwork of John Germain, and thankful for his gift. Since the things are different up here because of EBS, we wanted to do something different here and increase the usage of this. So that's, I'm thankful for John doing that. And obviously, yes. And you can't miss what Heidi primarily has done around you. And she's amazing. And she's been about this since March, cutting out and coloring and preparing and planning. And Wednesday, kids are going to be blessed by this church opening the doors to our community and hopefully helping share Jesus. And so be praying about our vacation Bible school. Nikki, come on up. I'm going to give you this before I forget. Nikki is, she's been part of her ministry, has gone to Tuba City before and helped us go to Tuba City and so on. But this year, she's being called to spend their whole summer working at the reservation there and being an intern. Is that basically what that means? And she readily accepted the opportunity to go down there and serve and give up her summer to bless that ministry down in Tuba City. So she's going ahead of our teens and being down there through the summer working with a variety of different folks coming through and working with the minister there and his wife and family. They got kids?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, three. But she leaves this week and heading down there, and we want to pray for her as she begins this ministry. But also I want to remind you that we want to be a part of helping support her in this. You'll see in the bulletin reference to her and also the Rockwells and us helping financially support, because they're not paying her to go down there. That's it's all on her, and so hopefully all on us as we find ways to support her in this. So I'm sure she'll, you know, accept any kind of resources you want to give her. But we're going to have that special contribution next Saturday if you want to. But that would be the plan. But today we want to make sure we're praying for Nikki and as she hits the road. When are you leaving? Tomorrow morning. And so we want to bless her in prayer and please encourage her in this. Let's pray. Father, we set Nikki apart for some great work this summer. Thank you, Father, for how you've gifted her in many ways to bless others. We're thankful, Father, that she's willing to spend this summer to bless the work down in Tuba City. We pray, Father, in advance for the those that she's coming in contact with, that they'll be just open to her love and her gifts and open to learning more about Jesus. So, Father, we pray that you'd use her for your kingdom's sake, that lives would be touched, that good seed would be sown, and that you'd bring the increase. Thank you for Nikki and her service for us here, and we're thankful for how she serves in so many ways. And we just pray your hand of protection on her, your blessings as she travels, and that the reception will be great for her down there. And we anticipate and look forward to the stories of you working through her when she comes back in August. Thank you for who she is, and we ask your blessings upon her in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, happy Father's Day. Like Mother's Day, we certainly don't want to miss the opportunity to bring honor to moms and dads. And as always, it's not necessarily an easy thing. For some of us, we've lost our dads this year, and that's tough. Some can't be dads, and that's just that reality. And some of us didn't have such good dads. And so that's part of the struggle with this day. We want to recognize that and not make light of it, but also make sure that we bring honor to our dads. And I'm thankful to be one. And those of you that are dads, we pray a blessing upon you, and grad dads as well. Speaking of parents, I'm sure that as you were growing up, and maybe even continuing today, you have adults grandparents, parents in your life who have given you words of wisdom, maybe some pithy statements that have just stuck with you over the years, that been a part of your upbringing, that you just resonate in your head that, yeah, those were words of wisdom as I was growing up, and I still remember them today. Maybe you can think of some of those, okay? And I'm going to ask you for some of those here in a second. I'll share you mine. As I was growing up, and whenever I had a difficult time, my dad would say, never say can't. That was one of his words of wisdom to me, is never say can't. And that has stuck with me. I don't know, Chelsea just stepped out, but I don't know if my kids caught it, because I tried to share it with them, because I just passed it on to them. Never say can't. How about you? Were any words of wisdom that were part of your upbringing, or maybe even currently? Maybe some of the young people want to say, my mom or dad says this. And you could raise your hand and tell me what it is. Yes. Okay, two things that don't cost anything are please and thank you. Okay, Nancy's mom said you can't be bored. That means you're not doing something for someone else. Yes. Okay, very similar to what Nancy was saying. Look for ways every day to find ways to bless somebody else. Okay, care for others. Come on, some of you had wise people in your lives.
If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all.
Okay, make sure that you say nice things or just... Say that again. Okay, so be careful when you, not to walk away from here with your hand on your head with a knot underneath it. That was Greg's dad. And Sarah, did he share that with you as you were growing up? He didn't pass that one on. Okay. Yeah. Nelda? Okay. Your sins will find you out. Yeah. Pam. Okay. There's that growth mindset. Maybe you can't do it now, but that's a yet, eventually. Remember who you are and whose you are. Words of wisdom.
My grandma used to tell me before I go to school, be good and study hard.
Be good and study hard. I'm sure we got lots of them, okay? And thank you for sharing. That makes my job a whole lot easier when you participate. Thank you for that. And maybe that's something we could share, maybe later today as families gather together. What are some of those words of wisdom? We're beginning, as Tyler mentioned, this sermon series on wisdom. And the first three are going to be focused on Proverbs. I know Kyle's going to bring some words of wisdom from James, and John shared some of those passages from James early on, but we're going to look at this concept of wisdom through this summer, and hopefully equipping us for our lives. And as I said, I'm going to work from Proverbs primarily, but that's not the only source of wisdom that we find in the Bible. Proverbs is a collection of what has been primarily attributed to Solomon, but if you read Proverbs, you'll find that there's others that are contributing to the book of Proverbs. It's just not Solomon, okay? And so, but I'm probably most of what I'm going to look at is from Solomon, but it's just a collection of sayings and teachings we've called wisdom. And it's more of, what it means to live out life is the way of looking at Proverbs. It's experiential wisdom. Proverbs is heavy that way. We would look at maybe Ecclesiastes or Job and look at the and see wisdom from a different perspective on how to live life, understanding God and life and death and some of the heavier things of wisdom. But Proverbs primarily is looking at, you know, how do I live day to day, is one way of looking at the book of Proverbs. And so hopefully you'll see that as we study this book. And so it's not necessarily the bigger things of life, but just the day to day, living well. Dave Bland says this about the book of Proverbs. He says, wisdom offers individuals the ability to negotiate the difficulties of life in a way that enables them to live responsibly before God and others. Enabling us to live responsibly before God and others. That's a great way of looking at the book of Proverbs and this idea of wisdom from the book of Proverbs. Now, context. You know, as you look at the book of Proverbs, if you've done any reading in it, you're going, is there any context to this book? Can we make any sense of, you know, what kind of setting might this book be in? At the men's breakfast a couple weeks ago, Robert Lind had a friend come and, named Jim, and he goes, I've been studying the book of Proverbs, but is there a context to this? And I went, well, I'm preparing for a sermon series. I'm kind of on top of this right now. And I said, if you were to try to guess on maybe a possible context, it might be equipping youth, preparing them for life, a handbook, if you will, a manual for how to live. And so you could look at the whole book of Proverbs as helping equip, train youth. Now, there's scholars who say, no, that's not what it's about. It has something to do with other things. But I really think this works. I really think that this helps us understand the whole purpose of the book of Proverbs is helping to equip youth for life. Words of wisdom. For life. And you know, you don't have to necessarily buy into that if you don't want to, but it just sure seems to be the context of providing some practical instruction on how to live well before God and others. But it must be pursued. It must be pursued. We'll talk more about that in a second. Proverbs chapter 2 says this, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. If you want to have wisdom, it must be pursued. Now, I'm going to probably cause you to stir a little bit on this one, but hang with me, ponder it, think about this idea. In Proverbs chapter 22, it says, train up a child in the way that you go, and it shall not depart from them, or they shall not depart from it. It all depends on your translation. Some of us have said that's fact, and stake a claim on that. Proverbs chapter 2 says, if it's pursued, then they'll have wisdom. There's a lot of guilty parents out there who've done all this training and their children have not pursued wisdom and they're feeling so guilty thinking they blew it, they didn't do a good enough job. We don't just pour wisdom or training into our kids and they go, there, that's all there is to it. We've got it made. We just pour enough into them, then they'll have wisdom. They have to accept it. They have to pursue it. You have to want wisdom. There's no money-back guarantee. They're not just necessarily going to take on this wisdom that we try to give them. And give yourself some grace in that. And understand that they have to have a desire and want for this. And there's no guarantee that we'll have wisdom just because we've been trained in it. Think about that. So as we've looked at our passage that John read for us today, starting in Proverbs chapter 1, it's important that we understand the goal of wisdom. When I was teaching college, you know, first thing of the semester is you hand out a syllabus and you say, this is where we're going for the semester. You give an idea of what the goal is of this learning experience. And that's what the writer of Proverbs is doing for us and saying, this is the goal. This is the agenda of the book of Proverbs and of what it means to have wisdom. to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, or what is learning what is right and just and fair. The purpose of wisdom is to shape moral character. It's just not knowing the nuts and bolts of certain things and having a bunch of knowledge. The purpose of wisdom is the shaping of moral character. And see why I think that fits perfectly with the idea of training up of children, of youth? It's designed to help shape them, their moral character, so they live great lives before God and others. And note that it's, actually I want to back up a second. Note that it's for the sake of others. To learn what is right and just and fair. That's for the benefit of others. For the sake of God and for the sake of others. The purpose of wisdom. Certainly you and I get a lot of benefit from that. If we live a just life and a fair life and a right life, we're going to benefit from that as well. But when our moral character is shaped, we're going to live out a life that is a blessing to others. Then he goes on to say in verse 4, to give prudence to the simple and knowledge and discretion to the youth. Now be careful with the word simple there. Okay, sometimes we, I think, use that in a derogatory way. Giving prudence to the simple is most likely the idea of people who have not had a lot of life experience and maybe a little bit naive, maybe not have a lot of knowledge of things of life. And so this simple person, in their not being experienced and maybe easily, I guess, influenced, he's saying wisdom gives prudence, that wisdom gives good judgment to those who are simple, who are inexperienced in life and not very knowledgeable and easily influenced. Wisdom gives prudence, gives good understanding. Again, the idea of I think, benefiting youth. And then he goes on to say in verses 5 and 6, let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. I like the Message translation on this one is we haven't arrived. None of us arrived in the area of our moral character, in the area of wisdom. None of us kind of, you know, get to the point where you say, I'm done. There's nothing else for me to learn. I'm perfect in my life. And the writer of Proverbs is saying, no. Old dogs continue to learn new tricks, if you will. None of us can say we've got it together. And so even though the youth may primarily be the purpose of the book of Proverbs and helping them gain wisdom, you and I are not left to the side and say we don't have anything to learn. That we need to have the same kind of perspective. We need to be pursuing wisdom for our lives. So none of us retire in this journey, this spiritual journey of maturing and gaining wisdom. Even us old dogs. And it's strange to me that he waits until verse 7 to say, okay, now, this is where wisdom begins. It seems strange to me. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The Message says, start with God. This is where wisdom is supposed to begin. Begin first in a relationship with Him and understanding Him. And this idea of fear is important for us to understand, but not, yes, God is awesome and God is all powerful and God is sovereign and He's the Creator God. And yes, we ought to be in fear of that in some respect and have a little bit of trepidation when we're in His presence. But this idea of fear, I believe, also includes a walking relationship with Him, if you will. A respect, it's obedience, walking hand in hand with God. I think Deuteronomy chapter 10 describes this pretty well, of what it means to fear God and be in relationship with Him. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, and to walk in obedience with Him, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. I think that perfectly describes what it means to fear the Lord. Okay? To understand who He is, and to walk in obedience to Him, but to love Him and to serve Him and to observe His commands, and so that it will go well with us. To fear the Lord. When you and I fear God, we understand that He created us. He's the one who sustains us. We ought to be in obedience to Him, but to be in relationship, this walking with Him, that He's determining our decisions on how we live our lives, and that we're going to be working to please Him. It's okay, Davey. I got to throw out a big word for you, epistemology. Epistemology means the study of knowledge. The study of knowledge. You and I live out our lives from our basis of knowledge. What we believe is true. You and I make our choices in life based upon what we believe is true. And in our culture today, it is heavily influenced by our culture saying, whatever's true to you, that works for you. Whatever's true to you, that works for you. You can't tell me how to live. Okay, your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. And we don't, you know, cross paths in that. Our basis of knowledge determines how we live. And so if my basis of knowledge is me, that's a very limited truth, isn't it? And you and I can have a very limited conversation. Because unless we have the same basis of truth, we're not going to go very far in a conversation about really important things in life. Because we're not going to be on the same page, are we? And that's what we're talking about discipling others, to be followers of Christ. That is really hard work if that person that you're trying to disciple does not believe in Jesus, does not believe in the Bible, doesn't believe that God has created. It's going to be really hard to have much of a conversation, especially in the area of helping them become a follower of Jesus, if you're not on the same page. And when we think of wisdom, it's got to begin with God, fearing Him. That needs to be the basis of our knowledge. That's why I believe the writer of Proverbs says, we have to begin with God. To fear Him. Then we can understand the bigger things of life and how to live well and have that basis for determining how we live out our lives. So you can now say, you know what epistemology is. Okay? The study of knowledge. Now Solomon, who do we attribute to the wisest man ever? We say Solomon, don't we? Okay? And hopefully you have that kind of a disconnect that I do with going, really? In chapter 3 of 1 Kings, we see, Solomon saying, okay, I'm going to pray for wisdom. And God grants his prayer. And he does some really wise things. And we would say some really smart things as he lived out his life and as he was the king. And we're going, yeah, he did. He was really wise and way to go, God, and he's really blessed in that. But then by the time we get to chapter 11, he's marrying all these women and concubines and stuff, and you're going, where's the wisdom in that? For a lot of reasons. But he starts marrying these foreign wives, and their faith is in all these other gods, and he's buying into this, their religions. And you're going, wait a minute, if he's such a wise person, we have a real question about his moral character, don't we? Does he live out a life where he's learned what is right and just and fair? In some respects, yes. But if the purpose of wisdom is to have a good moral character, I think we have a real question there. Did he really live up to wisdom and taking in and pursuing wisdom? That's the goal of wisdom, to have our character shaped. So the writer of Proverbs says, start with God. Put God in a proper place. If we're going to understand what wisdom is, we've got to make sure we understand who God is. In Solomon's life, he dethroned God, didn't he? He accepted all these other gods, and his life ended up being pretty messed up. So God needs to have his proper place. And there we'll find wisdom. And this morning we've gathered together to recognize God in his proper place and to worship him. Start with God. The first step in learning is bowing down to God. Only fools thumb their noses at such wisdom and learning. Start with God. I jokingly, with friends, will say, you know, if they ask me to pray for them, I'll say, well, has it come to that finally? But many times, isn't that what we do? We make a mess of things and then eventually go, oh, maybe we better start right and finally turn to God and start with him. Our lives are a journey. Why not start with God? To fear him. John and I were talking about, you know, this passage how the message, you know, start with God, bowing down to God, you know, how do you, you know, there's got to be the understanding of fear here, certainly. That's what we do when we fear God, is we start with him. We bow down to him. We begin with him as we think about living out our lives. So this morning, hopefully, we thought about the importance of fearing God, to bowing down to him, to realize that he is the author of life. And that when we bow down to him, we are humble ourselves and recognize that he is God and we're not. Let him direct our paths and not us. And that's tough for us Americans. We think we got it all and then some, don't we? But he wants us to bow down to him. Because if we don't, he says we're fools. We thumb our noses at him. If we don't fear him, if we don't bow down to him, if we don't recognize him as God. So I ask two questions this morning. Are you bowing down? Have you given up your life? Have you submitted your life? Realizing we need to recognize him as God and not put ourselves in the throne of our lives, but him. To seek his wisdom for our lives. Not to direct our own steps like what most people seem to do and create their own truth. So are you bowing down to him? Have you given up your life and saying, let God have control? That's why baptism is such an important symbol of us dying to ourselves and beginning a new life in his hands and not ours. Also, this journey, we need each other. And so this morning, if you want to share with the body here any prayer concerns, things you just need help with as far as maybe bowing down and living your life for his sake and not yours, or any other struggles you want to share with us. We've come together as an assembly, as a body who wants to walk life together, and if we need to share some things, we can. If you want to say that you want to submit your life to him, we want to encourage you in that as well. Be happy to study with you if you want, but now we want to turn to worship.